This is Swinger, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic, so don't sing it. Swing it.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for May 28th. Yes, we are live. We are live. Holidays today, Amnesty International Day. We also have International Jazz Day and National Hamburger Day. It's National Hamburger Day. Birthdays today, Seth Rollins is 36. Former NXT UK, Joseph Connors is 35 today, and Mosh from the Headbangers is 51. Really puts it in perspective, doesn't it? He's 51. Welcome. The Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Don't Slight Empire at Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby, want to be a skater, officiate Rock City Roller Derby, needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. Friend of the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. And you can tell I'm here and I'm live and I survived last week. I actually played my first game in about 4 or 5 years, last week, last weekend. That's why we were taped on Friday night. Wow, I got two DCs on here now. That's very interesting. We'll see what happens with that when Danger shows up. But hey, welcome to the show today. Welcome to the Pain Clinic. We are live and in color and in my living room as well as in DC. Where are you? Your mom's?
In-laws.
In-laws, okay. And of course, Rob Sanderson's here as well. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Good morning, Rennie. Oh, we lost Rob. Now we've got two DCs.
But you still got two of me.
Now we got one of you. All right. We're on Zoom, so you never know what's going to happen. It's a Zoom kind of day, you know? So, and that's a flashback to the people who might remember Zoom. It used to be on a PBS back a long, long time ago. It was a great TV show for kids, you know, because one girl could make her elbows bend backwards. But nevertheless, not going to get into details that I'll have to explain. We're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling. Guessing we're going to have Rob Sanderson, the artiste, back in a little bit. We do have DC Dan Cole, Danger Boy. I did not hear him bow out this week, so he should be showing up sometime, I'm guessing. Though we know that Furby is either en route or already in Detroit. So, but we got a lot of things to talk about because this is a big weekend. AEW Double or Nothing this weekend. Finally, it's all set up. Not exactly the card we were expecting, I think. I don't know. I mean, things changed a little bit. Kind of suspected that maybe Joe wouldn't win last Wednesday and we'd get an Adam Cole. Who was Joe taking on? Hold on a second.
Kyle O'Reilly.
We thought we'd get because you know they would be building off, of course, the Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole feud from a year and a half ago on NXT, but that didn't work out that way. That didn't work out so DC, how you doing this week? By the way, how's things going? You're up here, right?
Yeah, I am up in Western New York for the next 24 hours.
Oh, really? Short time, huh?
Well, I've been up since last Saturday, so.
Oh, okay. Wow. DC here, visiting Western New York, probably enjoying the cooler weathers, I'm suspecting, than North Carolina, maybe.
Yeah, although I'm anxious to get home because it looks like we had some storms roll through, and I checked my my doorbell camera yesterday, and it looks like we have a gutter in our tree, so.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It'll be interesting to see what I go home to.
Oh, no. Well, we might as well jump into talking about, let's see, I've got a couple of topics I wanted to talk about. Let's we'll talk about AEW in a minute and everything, but let's talk about WWE. I think, you know, not a lot of big news. I mean, they're building up to Hell in a Cell, which is next weekend, but they were hoping that Money in the Bank was a pay-per-view which could fill, was it Reliant Stadium? Is that what it's called in Las
Vegas? Allegiant Stadium.
Allegiant Stadium. I get confused with all these names. And, oh boy, Eating Crow this week, big time for them, you know, because that was a huge stadium to fill, and they couldn't do it. They didn't feel that what they've sold so far would have looked good on TV, so they moved it to another arena, the MGM, which they announced last night on SmackDown, the MGM, which is not the second biggest arena in Vegas. It's, I think it might be the third or the fourth biggest arena in Vegas.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, it's because UFC is running the next biggest.
Yes. UFC is running the same night, too, which is crazy. I wonder, you know, it's funny is that I just read that Dana White and met with AEW owner this past week. And I wonder if Mr. Sanderson will be in soon. He's trying still. They're having some issues. Just text me. But yeah, I saw that that Tony Khan had had a meeting with Dana White like this past weekend. I wonder what it is about. You know, you wonder if, you know, Dana White's going head to head with WWE on July 6th, I think it is, or is it that weekend? I'm not sure if it's the exact date, but I think it's the 6th. And they kind of forced WWE down to the third or fourth largest arena. It's still pretty big. MGM, I've seen a lot of UFCs from, so it's a pretty big arena, but it's not a stadium. And they're already refunding people who had bought bad seats in the stadium. So, I mean, it's kind of a little bit of crow being eaten by WWE, you know? I mean, they want Money in the Bank to be WrestleMania, but it's just not WrestleMania.
No, and this is something like I kind of alluded to in our group chat during the week is, number one, this is entirely an embarrassing moment for WWE. You know, this was supposed to kick off their summer of stadium shows, and not a good look to have to be moving your first one. A lot of that, I think, is in part to kind of what they've done to Money in the Bank, the concept over the past couple of years. It used to be something that, you know, you really looked forward to every year because they, you know, tended to do something interesting with it. But the past couple of years, it's been pointless. It's been stale. So I think that's number one, that's part of the problem. And then another problem they're going to have, and I might be wrong in this, but looking at the tickets they sold was still a sizable number for that football stadium. But this new venue they're going to has less seating capacity than the tickets they had sold. So they did have people that wanted to go that aren't going to be able to go now because they don't have the capacity for the volume they had originally sold.
Yeah. In fact, they refunded all the tickets, you know,
and said, oh, you'll be the first people that get the opportunity. Well, there's still more tickets sold than there are tickets available for the new venue.
Yeah. And it's July 2nd, by the way, the event. And the thing about that is, They're going to do a resale. So they gave everyone their money back, and now they're going to do a resale for this new arena. So, yeah, I'm sure it'll sell out. It'll be packed and everything. But, you know, Money in the Bank, you're right. The concept originally a Jericho idea, and he'll be the first to tell you. You know, he should have copyrighted it because he never knew they would have made a pay-per-view out of it. But it was just a WrestleMania throw-in, and that's what I remember. The first time we had Jericho on, and he was very forthcoming. He said, listen, I didn't have a match at the pay-per-view that WrestleMania. So I said, hey, why don't we get a bunch of us guys who aren't on matches to throw us into that? And that's really how it started, you know? And it was an idea of his that, you know, just because he didn't have a place on the card. I believe that was WrestleMania 20 too, which was, I think, in Madison Square Garden. So, or 20 also, I mean. I'm trying to remember.
No, it wasn't. It had to be 21 or 22 because he fought Christian at 20.
Okay. So
I want to say it was 22 because that was the Hollywood one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that was the, the first time they did it, because Edge won the first one.
Yes.
That was 22, and then Kennedy won the second one, which is at 23.
Yeah, that's correct. And Edge, and I get to see Edge cash it in. So it's only the only my only connection to that whole thing was I saw the night that he cashed it in. I was there live. So, but yeah, no, and it was a big deal when it was once a year, and that was it, you know. But you know,
right? And it was a great match. It was a great part of WrestleMania. It was one of the highlight matches. One of the ones you would always look forward to. That they didn't have to worry about a story build. You just put your workhorse guys in a match and just let them go for a half an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. And it turned into, it was just as good as a table, ladders and chairs match. Just as good, because you got the high falls onto ladders as well as everything else that they could land on. It was, you know, and the funny thing is we always felt it was not a lightweight worker, but it was a smaller guy kind of match, because you could do more, you know, more bumps, exciting bumps and exciting, you know, moves. But then it turned in, then they started putting bigger guys in the match and allowed them to be added into that excitement, which there were some good ones. I remember,
but look at the first string of winners. So you had Edge, you had Mr. Kennedy, who then, you know, lost it to Edge again. And you had CM Punk with his back-to-back wins. You had Jack Swagger, you know, Mr. Jake Hager pick up a win.
Yeah.
And then can you name me the last five Money in the Bank winners?
I don't think any of them.
I just named you the first five. Well, I can't tell you who the last five were.
I know that Big E won the title with it.
Yep, so Big E.
Yeah. But not everybody did, though. There was a lot of people who failed. I remember someone, who was it, won it, that called it out that, you know, the next night and said, I'm, you know, cashing it in immediately, and then lost. Was it Drew McIntyre? I'm trying to remember.
I can remember winners, but like there hasn't been a lot of memorable stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So,
or like when they had Otis win.
Oh, yeah. And then they finally found a way to get it off of him.
Yeah, found a way to get it off of him.
That's right. Oh, this was
another. So Miz could have it.
Yeah.
And then have it, you know, win the title for a week.
For a week. So he could, yeah, he could give it up. Yeah, yeah. Ah, Rob Sanderson.
Hey, look what it is.
The artiste joins us. How you doing?
Great technology.
Sorry.
You can hear me even. Yeah.
We can hear you.
You don't have it. Samsung should apologize to me this morning. Good morning.
Samsung, we'll get a letter out to you real quick. Good, we're doing
did
good.
Tell you when I was like connected at 10, and then it like
yeah, and then it yeah, shut. That's funny. DC got connected then too, and then it shut him off too. So it looked like it was going to be me for a while. We don't want that, definitely. But welcome. We just, you know, instead of going right to AEW pay per view, which we want to, we wanted to talk about the Money in the Bank embarrassment. Why not?
Say it, RT. Say the line. Say the line.
What's the line there, Rob?
I forgot the line.
You love to see it.
You love to see it. Yep.
Yeah.
yeah. So can't wait to watch Money in the Bank live from the Vegas Bingo Hall 42.
And, MGM. It's MGM Casino that they're in, but it's a bit smaller. Not quite football stadium, you know.
It's still a decent sized arena.
Yeah.
And it's weird. Like, obviously, there's a lot of non-wrestling history in terms of fights there and stuff, but some people online that are like, well, there hasn't really been like wrestling there other than Double or Nothing 2019. It's like there like five Halloween Havocs there, plus are we just gonna ignore the triple cage match with Jimmy King?
Like, that's
Royal
right
Bash was there, so
oh my god,
I mean, there's a lot of history in that building.
There and UFC history as well. I mean, that's the mainstay for the UFC every time they are in Vegas. You know, Fight Week, they always have at least one there. If it's not a TV show, it's a pay-per-view. So, very historic of arena, but not the second biggest, nor the, I believe it might be the third or fourth biggest still in the Las Vegas area, because the second biggest is the basketball stadium, I think. Where's the hockey team play?
The hockey team is at T-Mobile Arena, which is where tomorrow's pay-per-view is.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got, obviously, what, Allegiant Stadium for football, then T-Mobile Arena, which is one of the larger NHL arenas, because that's almost brand new still.
Yeah.
I think the MGM is next, because it's still bigger than the Orleans Arena that they were at for Dynamite and Rampage. And then there's that Thomas and Mack Center on the campus of UNLV, remember the capacity of that, but
it's pretty big,
a lot of arenas and stadiums and everything. And then there's a bunch of indie wrestling shows from the Golden Nugget today.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that someone you may know might be out there doing stuff with that too. So, I saw some videos and some pictures. So yeah, so it's the mecca of wrestling world this weekend with AEW being there. But AEW is smart enough not to go for the football stadium, you know. If they're going to use a football stadium, they're going to use the one in Jacksonville, I think, just because.
It'll be empty.
Yeah, it'll be empty, and it's free.
On purpose.
It's free.
There's part of it, too, that, like, I don't know. If it was an ambitious plan by Nick Khan and team to do that, but it's not one of the major pay-per-views, and I don't know. I mean, If it was a colossal failure like this, I feel like I would still be like, I don't know what the financials are with the contract or the stadium in terms of like how much money it was costing and how much they still owe after canceling the event, things like that. But I feel like I would, if I was in charge, I would still try to do it there and just a lot of freebies or moving people around to fit them across from the hard cam or something. Like, I think it's even more embarrassing to do this. To move it to a different arena because you can't sell tickets. So I don't know. They're doing a lot of this stadium stuff. And like Nashville for what, SummerSlam outside in July, is it?
Yeah.
Like, no thanks. No, I'd rather be outdoors in Buffalo in December than that. So I don't know. It's definitely interesting that they did that. I mean, heck, I would have even tried to make an excuse of like, oh, we got to move it to a different city because of some reason and go to a different arena. But yeah, that's pretty embarrassing.
Well, last night on, Rampage, they, the Acclaim came out with the Gunn Brothers. And both the Gunn Brothers. Never mind. The Gunn Brothers. Both the Gunn Brothers announced it as Las Vegas or Los Angeles when they were on the microphone, and then of course, we had to get the correct city that they were in, which was Las Vegas. All right, my dog's here. But that was I thought that was pretty funny that, and then that was taped a couple of days ago before I think even the announcement was made. So, yeah, they could have easily moved to Los
Angeles. Rampage was live last night.
Oh, was it live? Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. They said it was live. I didn't believe it. You know, the way they started, they went right into the first match right off the open. So kudos.
Squeeze everything in, and just because that was that match. Danielson and Seidel was awesome.
Yeah.
Danielson's giving so many good matches, and you know Seidel can put on a really good match, but he doesn't always click with his opponents or whatever, but I thoroughly enjoyed that match.
Yeah, I love when Daniel Bryan had him in the submission move, and it's just, you know, it looked like it was over. It was a fun match. And kudos to them. And I'm sure you heard the news earlier this week that apparently Bryan Danielson has been showing up every day for when they're doing TV, and he shows up early to work with people and work with anybody who wants to work with him. And it's like, man, that is an untapped commodity that definitely, you know, if you were a pro wrestler and you worked with AEW, you'd want to be. I think Daniel Bryan is pretty, I think he's got a career in this business, even when he's done in the ring, you know, I mean, you know, match setup wise and everything else, you know, and just, you know, knowing professional wrestling. So, but yeah, no, that was a good, I didn't realize that was live. I feel like an idiot last night. I actually didn't watch it live. I watched it this morning before we did the show. It was at 6:30 to 7:30. So it was kind of a weird time that's why I assumed it was taped, because it was a
weird time for us or weird time for the people in Las Vegas there for a Rampage going live at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, and they were doing a fan fest, right? That was going on yesterday.
That's today.
Today, yeah. It's
fan
all
fest
day.
Is today.
It's all day today. In fact, right now they're doing the, I believe it's the action figure and video game segment of their day of at the fan fest. So I saw the whole list, the whole schedule.
Well, it's 7 a.m. there now.
Oh, that's so right.
Soon they will, yeah.
It's 10 here. I forget. It's 10 here. Nobody's there yet. So. Yeah, no. Yeah,
I mean, you alluded to it earlier. Like, Nash is out there producing a bunch of these shows.
And, yeah.
The one show that he did last night, I wanted to see some of. It was Black Label Pro, which had a mix of matches, including Kevin Blackwood against Chaz McKenzie that I wanted to see. But that show didn't even start until 11 p.m. Pacific. And I was like, nope, I'm not watching a show that starts at 2 a.m. Eastern live. So a lot of those people like that worked that show like just recently went to bed.
Really? That's crazy. I was going to say that, and he's at the Golden Nugget, right? So that was,
Yeah.
So, and then,
because there's a Wrestling Revolver show there, Eastern 7 o'clock tonight, and then GCW at 11. So another one of these weekends that have turned into very busy in terms of if you're watching live streams and a bunch of different indies running the same city as AEW or WWE that weekend. It's like another mini collective weekend. So.
Well, before we talk about AEW, we'll go through and look at each of the matches on the pay-per-view. Tell us a little bit about ESW last weekend in Buffalo. Because I only asked because you stated that it's probably one of the greatest matches you've ever seen live in front of you, and you got to call it, too.
Yeah, so ESW Brawl Fest was last Saturday at Riverworks. You know, ESW's been around for 20-ish years, and I've either worked or seen or whatever, like almost all of those shows over the years, one way or another. And I think it was at least one of their best shows, if not their best, like start to finish. Like the main event was the tag team ladder match, which was a lot of fun. The first half main event was Jay Lethal against Trey Miguel. But really the card start to finish was filled with really, really good matches. But originally, it was supposed to be Trey Miguel and Buddy Matthews. Buddy Matthews had to pull out of the show. Jay Lethal was the suitable replacement. And I was looking forward to the match because both of those guys are really good wrestlers. They're really good wrestlers. But I don't know. I mean, it's just like it's a Saturday in Buffalo. Two guys that haven't worked there before. They haven't really crossed paths that much in the past when you think about it, because like when Lethal was in Impact, Trey was just getting started. And then when Trey went to Impact, Lethal was in ROH and stuff. So there's not history there with those guys. They just clicked. I mean, it's not really pulling back the curtain too much. I can tell you, like, I was there that afternoon and everybody's getting set up and I'm, you know, taking some notes over the table and stuff. And some guys are working out their matches, whatever. Still always we were talking about that. But, like, Lethal and Miguel were spending as much time as anybody, like, figuring out what they were going to do. And I was like, this is going to be good. Like, I can tell they really care about this. And shout out to Jay Lethal, who just had an incredible both of them had amazing attitudes. But Lethal came in the night before, did a seminar with a bunch of like Western New York wrestlers and students who was only supposed to be a couple hours, and it went like 6 or 8 hours or something. They were there till 2:30 in the morning. Lethal just like kept the seminar going to work with people, which he didn't need to do. Really cool of him. But the match was incredible. There's not much to describe it. There were definitely moments while I was calling it where I just like almost wanted to zone out and not call it, just sit there and watch.
Sure.
the crowd was electric. Like there were a lot of innovative spots and stuff. There were, jumping hurdles over the guardrails on the outside into move. Like it had a little bit of everything. And I've been fortunate to call a lot of really good matches, especially, in the last 3 years or so. I don't think I ever called a Jay Lethal match before. I've only called a couple of Trey's, but that really might have been the best match I've ever called. I've already gone back and watched it on IWTV. It is up. The entire show is up there. I would love to see a round two. Just blew away my expectations. Like I knew it was going to be good. I really like both of those wrestlers. I'm not going to say that like they're my number one favorite wrestler in the world or anything like that, but that match, holy cow. Like it was a sellout at the curtain, as they say, and nobody could stop talking about it. Like that was the first half main, and thank God that like it was intermission after that, because nobody should have to follow that.
Oh man.
It was really, really good.
Did you see Trey Miguel and Alex Shelley this week on Impact?
I have not caught that yet, but I certainly plan to.
That's well worth watching. Trey Miguel is like the new Ricochet, man. I mean, I think he's a guy WWE would sign and make him Ricochet, you know, or because he's that good. You know, he's the one guy when they broke up his tag team, they kept him in Impact, which was wise. Sign him to a bigger deal and let the other guys go, who, yeah, I mean, did okay too in NXT until one got kicked out. But nevertheless, yeah.
So I mean, that would be a whole different podcast on that topic.
Sure. But that's cool. I mean, and you know, Jay, what was he called when he was part of, when he was part of the tag group with Azrael, Special K, Azrael, and it was he
Hydro?
Hydra. I got to videotape a match where I was the camera guy ringside for that, and it was during the Upstate 8 tag team tournament, and that was incredible seeing him then, and he's just such a great talent. I mean, he's training Ric Flair to come back, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think in terms of in-ring, Jay Lethal doesn't get enough credit. And I think part of that is just because we saw so much of his funny stuff and, you know, the Macho Man stuff and the Flair stuff, whatever. But in the ring, bell to bell, I mean, he's as good as anybody. He really is. And the athleticism from Trey is as good as anybody else, too. So it's almost unfortunate because it takes away, like, all the praise for the rest of the show, which is really good too. But man, that match was outstanding.
Anything else on that show stand out to you that in your head?
Colin and Cheech against Nick Ando and Cloudy for the tag titles in a ladder match in the actual main event was really fun. And Shazza McKenzie against Christina Marie was great. There was Bill Collier and Jay Freddie had their second meeting, and those guys just click really well together in the ring. There were some surprises. There was the Impact star
I saw who that was. one of your favorites, huh?
You know what? I don't know how much I talked about that on here, but yeah, Johnny Swinger and I don't have the most perfect past of working shows together, but he was super friendly on Saturday. He opened the show against Frankie Feathers in a match that was kind of, I don't know, the best way to, it was like a TV style match.
Okay.
The best way to put it.
He does comedy matches on Impact. Yeah, yeah. If you ever see him. So, you know,
So the match was good. And afterwards he grabbed the mic and he cut a really authentic, great promo after, just talking about being from the area and doing this for so long, and now he's in the best run of his career, and was talking about ESW and some of the guys. I came around to him a little bit more after that appearance, I'll be honest. So overall, it was a really, really good show. ESW is back next month in Niagara Falls, June 19th or 18th or something, whatever that weekend is. And then outdoors at Riverworks in August. And then I know there will be one more indoor Riverworks show in the fall, which I'm looking forward to the outdoor show, but honestly, like, I can't wait for another indoor Riverworks show. That's the best venue for a show. It's so cool in there. And that crowd was, shout out to that crowd. Not to go on a huge tangent here, but like, there's always been mixed opinions about indie wrestling crowds in Western New York, just to be honest. A lot of times you find that people are there to see like one person they know on the show or whatever, but you don't necessarily always get like those super indie fans or those people who pay a ton of attention to a lot of wrestling and whatever. That was like the smartest wrestling crowd I think I've ever seen at a show in Western New York. Like they knew everything. They knew about guys that were kind of like I'm blanking on something. Like, there were guys that came in to make like their debuts. Levi Everett is a good example. He has like an Amish gimmick where he brings, I don't know the actual term, the butter churner out to the ring. And the crowd went ballistic for him. It was so loud in there. that they just wanted to see him churn the butter.
Yeah, churn and the butter.
it was as loud as a concert in Riverworks when that happened. Like, it was crazy. So the crowd was amazing, and that was really cool to see that they were in the know. They knew who these wrestlers were. They were excited the whole night. Easy with a show like that to get exhausted, which I feel like is going to happen with the Double or Nothing crowd tomorrow night. But
yes,
just a really, really fun show. And again, IWTV, look it up online, ESW Brawl Fest 2022, one of the best shows I've ever called for sure.
I saw a good shot of the crowd all the way to the stage. It was a good far away shot, maybe where the merch was, I'm guessing. But, and man, what a giant screen, man, that was beautiful. It looked, you know, it just was perfect setup for an independent match.
And I mean, shout out to that ESW production crew that Jonathan Ash leads. Like, they put in so much work. They go in there were people there Thursday and Friday setting up for a Saturday show and stuff, like the screens and the entranceway and the trusses and the lighting and setting up, like hanging the belts from the rafters for the tag ladder match. And there's so much that goes into it. It's as professional a setup you're ever going to see on an indie wrestling show. So
yeah,
it's fun to be part of it. I mean, I used to do ESW, I moved away and stuff, and it's been fun being back in that seat. So
very cool. So yeah, so don't miss it, folks. If you're within the area and you get a chance to catch any of those shows coming up, you know, maybe they'll come back to Rochester. We did a one show, and then COVID shut the world down. So, you know,
yeah, there were the two, because I think there was the 2019 show. I called that one. I flew in for that one, and then there was the last ESW show before like the pandemic hit was in Rochester.
Yeah, Orange Cassidy.
I wouldn't be surprised to see. I don't think there's anything on the books for this year yet, but not a bad thing to bug ESW about and ask for.
Sure, certainly. So I'm going to jump now into, and I see there's a lot of discussion going on that has nothing to do with what we're talking about in the chat room. But I will say that we did get to see, if you watch Impact this past week, it was really good, man. It looks like we got to see the Briscoes tag with what's the guy who's the champ right now? Hold on a second.
Alexander.
Yeah. Alexander. They were tagged. They did a 3-on-3 and it was like, against, Eric Young's Grant Gang. And it was like, man, they're putting on good shows. You don't want to miss Impact. Okay. You know, even though I can't tell you everyone's names cause I'm dumb and they change from show to show, if you tuned in just to catch Alex Shelley there, and Trey Miguel, man, you got your money's worth at least for that. But let's talk about AEW because they are the focus of this weekend. They're in Vegas right now. We're getting a pay-per-view tonight from them. We had the last setup and it was live, which I was completely shocked that it was live last night because I just thought it was a weird time. But you know, it makes sense. You know, it's because I didn't see any spoilers or anything out there. So maybe it made sense, you know, but I've also been super duper busy this past week. So it's like, it's been tough for me to catch everything, but, you know, we've got the whole card settled out. It looks like there's about 45 matches on the card and
they might not be done yet either.
Yeah. But we'll go through the card and look at it a little bit. This is Double or Nothing and you can get it on pay-per-view, $49.99 on pay-per-view from Fight TV. You can also see it. There's
Bleacher Report app. I think that's the easiest way to get it in the States is Bleacher Report app.
Yeah, and that's where I got it the last time I bought one. So it was like, so you definitely want, and it looks like the 7 o'clock is when it's the buy-in portion of the show starts, and then the regular main card starts at 8. And this is, we got a holiday weekend. You know, it is Memorial Day weekend, and we want to do shout out to all our military people and everything. And we do want to shout out to our friends too and the had tragedies this past week. It was just a terrible week for Texas as well as, you know, still coming off of Buffalo. And man, it's we need some healing and maybe wrestling is the healing for us this weekend. We need something because just can't get any worse than it has been in the last couple weeks. There, I'm sorry, it'd be a bit downer here in the middle of the show, but it was like, it's something I wanted to mention. And I mean, we do have Memorial Day, so we do get an extra day off this weekend too. So the pay-per-view is definitely don't want to miss it this weekend. Let's start from the bottom and the pre-show. If you watch the buy-in portion or the pre-show, you're going to see Hook and Danhausen versus Tony Nese and Mark Sterling.
It's going to be one of the most fun matches of the weekend.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I can't wait for that.
Mark Sterling apparently doesn't own boots, does he? No. Apparently he does.
He wrestles on local indie shows, yeah.
By the way, after last night's Rampage, do you think a Gangrel's going to show up?
I don't think so. I think it was a one-off, but...
Yeah.
It was interesting. I appreciated the Bucks doing the Hardys impersonation was pretty funny. They
had Matt Fax
pull that off pretty well. So
they did Matt Fax too. They merged a bunch of their gimmicks together, you know?
Yeah, and shout out to Brandon Cutler because I didn't even notice until the end of the match
he was dressed like Lita,
but that was I was cracking up once I noticed that.
Yeah, so. He had the slingshot sticking out of his pants. Yeah.
Yep.
That was hard to watch. It was great because he did get beaten up too, so that's good. thanks, Rennie. Rennie likes my dog. My dog just came up and visited me for a second here. I thought that was the best thing about last night, besides the match we got with Daniel Bryan. To start the night, and we got the Ruby Soho and Chris Statlander to end the night there with. And before we get into talking about all the matches, what did you think about that? I mean, I know that. You know, it was interesting the promo she cut after the match because time was rolling down and she said, listen, Ruby said, she's a friend of mine and look what I did to her. Look what I'm going to do to you, Britt. And she started to tell her how she's going to destroy her tomorrow and, Sunday night and everything, you know.
Promo was good, but I agree with the fans. It's nothing against Ruby, but... Statlander is somebody that I've been wanting them to push since 2019. And yeah, she got like one chance on a pay-per-view against Nyla like 2.5 years ago or something. But it's not. Statlander should have been in the tournament to start with, like as a shoot. Like this wasn't, it's not like this was the plan the whole time. And I don't love that it's Britt and Ruby in the finals. I really don't. I don't think that, I don't know. Like they haven't like pushed a belt immediately onto Ruby, but they have to be really careful with the amount that we're going to talk about going through this card of people who at one point were in WWE and then came over and since August or September and that are part of this show tomorrow. Like they've got to be careful with that. And I don't think, like, if the plan is for Ruby to win, which I could see that being the case, or that have, like, maybe that has been the case, that crowd's not going to react well. They proved it last night. I feel like you got to call it an audible at this point. I just don't, to me, I didn't love the way that bracket was set up, the people that made the tournament, whatever. I think Tony Storm should have won on Wednesday.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was,
and this just doesn't, like, Britt's been the most dominant champion. She doesn't need to win the tournament right now. And Ruby's not the fans' overall pick either. So I don't like that.
Do you think that this is the finals for the Owen Hart tournament cup here. Do you think that we're going to get an appearance by the Hart family in some way or another? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to get Martha, probably Dr. Martha will probably be there. Maybe Brett, I'm not going to.
That I don't know about. I'm going to guess no on that, but I know they said that Martha would be there. And then I'm assuming Oj and Athena will be again as well. But, and then there's some kind of prize or whatever, whether it's a trophy or something that's going to go to the winners that they haven't revealed yet, so that I'm sure she'll be presenting or a part of. So
I think they're going to get an award, the best bow tie, right? Is that the award? No, that's the one that Owen stole from Bob Backlund.
Oh, yeah.
Can't go back to that, but So ooh, yeah,
I did it. I'm a winner.
Yes. The best bow tie.
You don't have two slammies. Yeah.
Well, we got the we might as well talk about the men's finish too. We got Adam Cole and Samoa Joe in the Owen Hart Cup tournament final as well. I assume Adam Cole, you know, yes, had a challenge to the champ and lost a couple matches, but I don't think he was pushed aside at that point. I think we just went right into this tournament. This might be like the nod that gives him like the next shot to go after the champion. If the champion, you know, we don't even know who's going to win. I mean, we're all theorizing. We'll get to it later, but I mean, you know, this probably will be like a good step to getting back to the main event, I think. Thoughts on this? I mean, I do think Cole will beat Joe, but it's like, we'll see, you know. I mean, Joe was a surprise win, you know, I thought, you know, this past week.
Yeah, it has to be Cole at this point. I don't see the point of letting Samoa Joe win it. It feels quite odd to have a guy you brought in who's currently carrying a Ring of Honor title to win your inaugural Owen Cup tournament. Like, it's something about that seems weird. And then I also find it a bit suspicious that we have Adam Cole and Britt Baker in the finals. So
yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Do the math there.
Yep. And that is not something I've thought about yet. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, so it's probably hypocritical for me to say this, but I think it's for some reason, it's a similar situation to Ruby, but it's not, where I think this is exactly what you do with Adam Cole. You have not given him a title, and I don't expect that to happen soon. And this is something that he can win. I've been saying for weeks and weeks, Cole over Joe in the finals. I would be shocked if Joe wins this. Will Adam Cole win cleanly? I'd like to see it, but I don't think so. I think he'll get some kind of help or whatever. But I think that's a first time ever match. And that's a match that I think could, I don't know if I want to say steal the show, but yeah, it could. I mean, it's going to be one of the best matches tomorrow for sure.
Joe had such a tumultuous last couple of years, you know, because of injuries and whatnot, that, you know, he was a wrestler, WWE was forced to be an announcer, went back to be a wrestler. As soon as he went back to be a wrestler, he got cut. So he's really, you know, he's really hasn't had a lot of time in the ring in the last couple of years. And, you know, I think they're probably going to put on quite a spectacular match, and I'm definitely looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward, you know, who knows, maybe like Adam Cole will like propose to Britt when they both have the Owen Hart trophies or whatever, you know.
I don't think we need any more proposals or weddings in wrestling.
No.
On camera. You know, obviously there's also the possibility of Jay Lethal and company getting involved in that. I hope they don't go that route. I like that AEW doesn't do a lot of that kind of stuff. I think something could happen in this, but leave that Ring of Honor storyline for whenever they actually get a Ring of Honor show going.
Sure, I agree. So we just went through who we thought were going to win the Owen Hart Cup tournament finals. We have also on the card, probably towards the beginning of it, Death Triangle, Pac, Penta, and Phoenix versus House of Black, which I'm kind of excited about that because it's a true trios. Once again, and who knows, maybe we'll get the announcement of the trios belt sometime soon. But that looks like a fun match. And then Buddy Matthews, of course, and Brody King. Maybe that's why Buddy Matthews couldn't come, you know, because of the plans they had for him coming up. But that looks like a lot of fun. You know, that might be the first match of the night. I can't imagine that the Jericho Appreciation Society match is going to be the first one of the night. But what do you think about that match? I mean, we got a lot of great workers. A lot of guys don't get a lot of time on TV either, you know. And, I mean, they deserve it, though. I mean, they're all great wrestlers in their own way, so.
I'd rather victims. Go for it, Ortiz.
Nope, you go.
Oh, we're both so polite and nice. yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to this, and this is one of those storylines and matches we've had delayed due to injury or other reasons. Me personally, I'd like to see any time allotted to the Jericho Appreciation Society match scrapped and given to these guys.
Yeah, these are all victims of the overflowing roster situation that they could do a lot more with. I mean, Death Triangle would be in a better position if they didn't have Alex Abrahantes out there making them look like a bunch of nerds. I think it'll be a good match. I don't know. It's kind of just there. Like, it's been built up for a while. Are we ever going to see anything with Julia Hart? I don't know. But
besides the eye patch.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't say that I'm super excited to watch this match. It's just weird because there, like you said, there are a lot of really good wrestlers in that match, but it's just, there's so many multi-man matches and stuff going on that that's one I'm probably looking forward to the, I don't know, maybe the most of all the matches with a lot of people in them, but we'll see.
Well, next up on the card, according to my list, is the Jericho Appreciation Society, the Anarchy in the Arena match. Don't know what that entails. Not really.
Or the arena and the anarchy match of your Excalibur. Yeah.
Yeah, you mix up the words a little bit. Nevertheless, I'm not really sure what that entails, but it's going to have all five guys taking each other on.
It's a street fight. I mean, unless they end up doing like some weird, like, to me, it's not a match where it can't be like a stadium stampede because there's too many serious people in this match. You're not going to have John Moxley and Eddie Kingston and Daniel Garcia and these guys doing like goofy stuff.
Ryan Danielson,
there is so much talent in this match. Yeah. And I don't care. This is honestly probably the match I'm looking forward to the least tomorrow, which is insane for me to say when it's got Danielson and Garcia and people in Kingston and them in it. But I don't, like, for me, Jericho's getting go away heat. He's getting X-Pac heat. He's not somebody who I want to boo as a heel. I just can't stand any of this.
I think he needs a slow motion hair, like John Morrison used to do, shake the hair and do it in slow motion, because he's got that different hairstyle now. He's doing one good thing. He is going on tour with Fozzy. It did come out this past week, so maybe it is the go away heel heat kind of that he's going to get.
It's such a, like, Garcia showing a little personality. Fine, I don't need that. I'd rather him. I wanted him in that Blackpool Combat Club. And I don't know, maybe that could still happen at some point, but 2.0 also, like, they're getting, especially Matt, they're getting to show their personality and stuff in this, but kind of like them on their own. I just don't, I'm over these Jericho stables.
They don't really wrestle. They just come out and cut promos and, and then run in and interfere, but they don't really haven't had a lot of matches.
Throw fireballs because he's a wizard.
Yeah, that's right. He's a wizard. Yeah. You know? So,
and honestly, like, nothing against him. Like, Jake Hager really contributed that much to AEW.
Just posing in the background. He poses behind everybody.
I mean, how many times is he like not even there? Like, it's a way for them to squeeze all these people that, Tony Khan wants to have at least Jericho, Moxley, Danielson, if not some of the others, like, on the pay-per-view. So this is the way that he squeezes them in.
Yeah, and Eddie. I mean, we need to see. Yeah, I mean, Eddie's over big time, Yeah. So it's like, we will get the super faces versus the super heels, and who knows what will happen. So then we're going to move up to the next match. Young Bucks versus Matt and Jeff Hardy. Something that, obviously it kind of reminds me of these guys taking each other on back when Impact Wrestling was trying to pair up fantasy matchups with the Dudley Boys. Do you remember when they were like, we're going to bring in these people and, we're going to have we're going to have Hall and Nash versus the Dudley Boys and we're going to do all these people. And so but these guys are still in their prime. Matt and Jeff can still do it. I'm not saying that the Dudleys couldn't do it when they were in Impact. It just was, the Road Warriors. They wanted the Road Warriors. Remember how bad they wanted the Road Warriors to, and they got them and it was terrible. So, so we will see, but we're going to get the Young Bucks. And of course, Young Bucks are doing their Hardy impersonations, which were great last night. Gangrel being out there, and then they attack Gangrel, and it's like, but it was fun. It's going to be a good match. It'll be exciting. I'm sure, I'm not sure how it'll fall out, but it's definitely one of those fantasy matchups. It's definitely.
It'll be good, but it won't be anywhere near as good as when they faced off at Supercard of Honor.
Yes.
And not only that, aside from last night, this is a match that was entirely built on being the Elite. So unless you've been watching being the Elite over the past several weeks, this match for you is coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, I'm not excited for this match. You know, I can't think of a Young Bucks match that I didn't enjoy, to be honest. But the Hardys are not the same anymore. It's weird to me that, like, there's so much mention of, like, oh, dream match and stuff. Like, you guys basically own Ring of Honor at this point. Tony does. And, like, the match happened there. And it was a ladder match. And then the Hardys went back to WWE the next day. Like, that was a big deal back then. Then there was a lot of great build up with that, with the Bucks of Youth and all those promos, because this was like back when Matt was just doing great stuff and Jeff could move better and wasn't just absolutely killing people with his swanton bomb like he is now.
Oh, he got looked like he got hurt last night doing it. When he came down, he like grabbed his back after it. So it's like
he doesn't come across anybody anymore. He lands directly on top of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could take a swanton from him a decade ago and you're good, but take him. I don't think many people want to take it right now because it's just crashing right down on the sternum. But yeah, I wish I cared more about this match. I don't. This was one I was kind of nervous was also going to end up as like a crazy multi-man match when they, you know, the feud was involving like Red Dragon and other stuff. So I guess I'm glad that it's just a tag match, but it should be fun, but it's not, to me, it's not like a main interest point on the card by any means.
Okay. So the next match we got, and I don't have it on my list here because I'm out of printer ink here, but you guys got it on the list I sent you. That would be Darby Allin taking on Kyle O'Reilly. Now, we find out last night that Sting is hurt from that match they had like a week ago. And it's also interesting that the day after we find out, or the day before we find out he's hurt, he's going to be here at Eastview Mall. He has a date now set to do some autograph signings here, which is super cool because it's Sting, you know, and he's coming to Rochester basically to do a sign. Him, I guess Lex Luger is coming with him too. It didn't say that on the announcement, but I had heard that possibly Lex Luger will be doing autograph signings. So it'll be Sting and Luger here, Eastview Mall, July 23rd, 1 to 4 p.m., $60 for autograph, $60 for picture, $200 for VIP, and you have to contact Heroes Hideout and get tickets in advance. So, but Sting not being there with Darby Allin though, because he's been hurt. And that will be a great match. I'm thinking, you know, Kyle O'Reilly always puts on a great match. Darby Allin, you know, always, you know, does something that just amazes us every time. And so we get that match on, and that might be earlier on the card than I put in the schedule. So what do you guys think?
Almost surprised that wasn't put on the pre-show, even though I know they don't want to do that specifically to Darby. This match could be really good or it could be really weird. I don't know what to expect from it. I mean, Kyle's such a great wrestler. Darby is trying to put on some really good matches before he has to retire in like a year or two, probably, from the crazy stuff he does.
Sure.
Hopefully it's really good. I don't know. I didn't really care much about that being added to the card just because we were already watching 400 matches tomorrow.
But, yeah, I was going to say, they just kind of threw it in last night on a promo. So it was like, okay. You know, I mean, they need, you know, maybe Sting wasn't available. Maybe Sting is really hurt. I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking it's more gimmick, you know, hurt, you know.
But either way, this is just shoehorning people in for the sake of putting them on the card. And again, it's not a match that we wouldn't be interested in seeing, just not tomorrow night.
Right. And I think like, I'm totally fine with Sting not wrestling tomorrow because I really
it's Sunday, by the way. Oh, tomorrow is Sunday. Sorry.
Like they really need to space out Sting's matches. I don't need to see him wrestle that often.
See, we're live.
I think it is legitimate just because they had to refund everybody that had bought a ticket to meet him at their fan fest today. And I don't think they would have done any of that if he wasn't legitimately hurt. you could just not have him actually wrestle if whatever. But I don't know. I mean, it's just another match said just to get people on the show. I feel bad for Bobby Fish and all this, that he's like the only one that's not getting a match out of that whole Undisputed Elite.
Maybe
so far not getting one.
Maybe he'll be the one who interferes in the Adam Cole Samoa Joe match. So you never know. I mean, you know, I'm sure he'll be used in some way or another. They could have like a battle.
Maybe he will get the match that gets added on when the Celtics go into overtime and stretching time. I don't know. Did you hear that whole thing?
I heard the basketball's going. It could possibly be going at the same time as the pay per view, and they're worried about losing people to that. So.
Yeah, the game 7 in the NBA is at 8:30 tomorrow night. And so Tony Khan was just like, we have a contingency plan, but Punk and Hangman will not go to the ring until that game is over.
Wow. That's
they don't, he said they don't have a hard out for the pay-per-view tomorrow. And so they don't want to make people choose who are watching that. Like, I mean, I'm not an NBA guy, but like, how late are we talking? Like if that game goes into overtime or whatever.
Yeah.
As someone who's going to be on the road for 12 hours tomorrow and struggling to stay awake to watch it anyway, like, please don't let this drag on forever.
Well,
is it going to be, we're not at that match yet. We'll hold it.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, we're making our way up the card. Next was going to be Wardlow and MJF. And if you saw this past Wednesday night Dynamite, you know Wardlow won the cage match when MJF was knocked out as the referee by a chair shot by, lo and behold, the number 10 guy, the chair dude. And so we got a 1-2-3 count. So now we get Wardlow and MJF. And to be honest with you, and this is – truly what I think is going to happen. MJF wins this. I think he wins this. I know Wardlow's huge on a ride and a huge wave right now, but I don't want to sit through another 5 challenges to wrestle me match, you know? And it seems like every time it happens, MJF wins anyways. So, what do you guys think? I mean, I'm just picking MJF, but who knows? Maybe that Wardlow is going to get that huge. There's so many upper echelon talents in this company that, you know, and supposedly MJF's a pillar, you know, and I put that in quotes, folks, you know, but he is a pillar, you know, him. I don't know about Darby Allin, but he is definitely a pillar. What are your thoughts?
You know, I hadn't even considered MJF winning, but now the thought of the heat he would get if he did.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see that despite how well they've built up this storyline and they have gotten Wardlow so incredibly over. I kind of feel like the storyline needs to end. And to me, that means Wardlow winning, but damn, Cash.
Sorry.
MJF winning. Very intriguing prospect.
Yeah. Well, just think depending on what happens in the main event too, it could dictate what we see happen between Punk and Hangman, you know?
I think with that match, like, I like the idea of MJF getting that heat, but I don't like the idea of having to sit through more of Wardlow trying to go through all of MJF's things to get a contract or get released from a contract.
You have to go through these 4 stages.
Yeah, like I'm over all that. So I don't know. It would be a good swerve, but I feel like Wardlow will win. It's also a little like I understand they tried to do a lot to make like Dynamite and Rampage worthwhile this week. I don't think that match with Spears really had to be a cage match. Like I kind of would have saved that somehow for Wardlow versus MJF, whether it was this one or a rematch or something, but I don't know. It should be fun. They're doing a great job with building Wardlow up. And so he should win, but
Do we always feel this?
I don't know if it's gonna. It should be at least an okay match. Yeah.
Do we always feel that Wardlow was going to break free eventually from the very beginning when they, you know, the pinnacle was announced, you know, or even when he was just siding with MJF, you know, I mean, eventually this was going to happen. So this is a pretty big deal, I think, because they've invested a lot of distance, we'll say, in time to make this happen. So. You know, that's the only way I would think Wardlow would win is if, you know, but I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess we'll keep moving up the card. I still think MJF's going to somehow pull it off, and maybe it won't be, you know, it seems like MJF, every time he's in like a huge match, he doesn't need to cheat to win. You know, I mean, yes, one time, you know, on TV, he'll put the ring on and knock somebody out. But when it's on pay-per-view, it seems like it's pretty much heads up, even up with everyone he's wrestled so far, even when he lost to Punk and whatnot, you know, so. That's what I'm thinking is okay. And I hate to say it, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But when we get to the Punk match, so we're going to go next. Cargill versus Anna Jay. I think this is another throw in for the TBS championship. I kind of like Cargill where she's going. I kind of dig, you know, this telling Tony to shut up every time they start and whatnot, you know, and, you know, swear and using bad words and stuff like that. But it's like, I find her very attractive, and she's like, she's just a Adonis body wise. And she's actually getting it in the ring a little bit. So, you know, kudos to her.
She's got that presence. I think a lot of us are all surprised that we're coming around to her, but, this match was not built up well. So nothing against Anna Jay, but yeah, this is not a match people are thinking about a lot going into tomorrow, just because there hasn't been much actual build up for it. So if there's a match I'm betting on a winner tomorrow night, it's Jade retaining that, because there's no reason to have her have her first loss be against Anna Jay in a match that hasn't been built up properly.
DC?
No, I agree.
Yeah.
It's unfortunately, I like what they're doing with Jade, but this is another just let's shoehorn some more people in. Let's shoehorn some more matches. And
yeah.
And not one of the ones I'm looking forward to, but yeah.
This may be the kickoff.
If there's a sure thing, it's Jade winning.
This might be the kickoff. That's
a weird thing. I feel like Tony Khan, I'm making assumptions here, but like, is he too nice to all of his people that he doesn't want to offend them by putting them on the pre-show? Because we're already at least 13 matches, and I say at least because they might add more. Only one is announced for the pre-show, which is an hour long. You got to get more of that in that hour. You've got to find a way to space these out or whatever. I do not want to see 12 matches on the main card or more than that. So I don't know if he just doesn't want to. If he can't pick any of these matches, be like, hey, you guys are going on the pre-show. But there's an argument if you're the wrestler, you might want to be on the pre-show because anybody can watch that for free, as True. Opposed to only people who buy the paper, you can see the actual matches. So it's not like that big of an insult in my mind. But I hope that gets rearranged a little bit because, man, this is going to be a long night.
It certainly helps Danhausen and Hook because they're on the pre-show. So, you know, I mean, so.
And that's something that the crowd's going to go absolutely nuts for. And it's going to be on the pre-show.
Yep. Yeah, so moving up, we got three matches left to go through, and it's we've got
four.
Four. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm missing one on my list because, like I said, my printer doesn't work at home, so I added things to it.
Well, you're missing another one that could go. That's got some people I really like, but could go on the pre-show too. In Sammy Guevara, Frankie Kazarian, and Ty Conti.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Scorpio Sky, Ethan Page, and Paige VanZant.
Yeah, I forgot. I don't have that on my list here. So wow. You know, I mean, they kind of built that up last night too a little bit. You see that nice new belt they have, the TNT belt last night.
I do like that belt.
Oh my gosh, the purple sparkles in it. I loved it. It was like that was fantastic.
Purple strap on the back.
Yeah,
it looks good. It's cool that they're doing those custom belts. It's weird to me that Sammy didn't get his own, really, but I think everybody else has kind of gotten their own design.
Well, you know what Sammy does with belts. You're not going to give him anything good. You know?
I mean, he's had it more than anybody, so I feel like they could have. I don't know. I'm hoping. So the issue with this match is that Sky was on the mic and they made this stupid stipulation again of like, Sammy, Frankie, you guys can't challenge for the TNT title again if you don't win this match. And it made me nervous. And I was like, please tell me he didn't say like everything he was supposed to say in that. And Excalibur did say later in the show, the way he worded it in his million words a minute was that it's Sammy and Frankie could not challenge Sky again for the belt, which that I'm totally fine with. I like that stipulation, but if you're going to do another, like, you could never challenge for that belt again. Haven't we learned our lesson on that?
Cody.
Yeah.
Cody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking.
But no, I mean, I like people in that match. I'm not like that. Throw that on the pre-show.
That may be.
You don't need that on the main card.
Yeah.
One of these matches with a ton of people in it. Throw one of those on the pre-show.
Sure. I don't know. I like to see Sammy win it again, though. I think people are behind him. No. He's totally got the Cody Rhodes heat then, right? He just absorbed it.
They're destroying. I mean, whether you want to blame him or blame Tony or whatever, they're destroying Sammy. Sammy was on pace to be one of the biggest stars in the company, or he was already at that point. And now I think they're at least kind of getting to the point where they might truly just acknowledge him as a heel. Maybe.
Well, they stole the UFC belt, so, I mean, you know.
They're just like, I'm nervous that you're taking somebody like Sammy, who would be such a big part of your company for many, many years to come, and permanently making him unlikable or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can give whatever amount of that blame to him that you want. We'll say, like, if you look at Ty put out a tweet yesterday about some insane threats that her and Sammy are getting from some delusional idiot who hopefully can't just go out and buy a gun. That's a whole other topic for this country, but it's like scary. Like, if you see that tweet from her about the threats, a lot of screenshots and stuff, somebody's taking this way too seriously. But I don't know. I mean, I guess Paige VanZant's ready to wrestle.
Have you been, if you follow her on Instagram, which 90% of it is her answering viewer mail, that's what I call it, your questions and whatnot, but then she also has some brief
Instagram?
Yeah.
That's not what I see on her Instagram.
Well, besides that, yes, and she does do some modeling photos as well, but she also does some training in there too every once in a while. I don't know if it's flashback to UFC training or what, but she's been training in the ring. I've definitely seen some shots of her working in the ring. So yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, maybe that could be moved. Yeah, I agree. Maybe put that on the pre-show. But so let's move on.
Well, my thing with that too is like, all right, so real quick, with you're squeezing everybody out of this freaking pay-per-view. Not everybody needs to have a spot on the pay-per-view, or you need to start doing pay-per-views more often as opposed to like, oh, we're only going to do them every 4 months or whatever, but we're going to put everybody on it and make it 12, 13, 14, 15 matches. If this match needs to be on the pay-per-view, then Paige VanZant should have been on TV this week.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
She gets her debut match on a pay-per-view, and she wasn't even on Rampage last night?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Makes sense, yeah. So, yeah, let's move on. Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus versus Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs versus Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland in a three-way for the AEW titles. Exciting, good match. I mean, this has got plenty of TV time to build up, too, okay? They've had, you know, they've definitely have got, you know, I would like to see the FTW title not ever come out again. If we could just do that and just write it off because it doesn't mean anything. Because he lost last week. Did the title change hands after he lost? We saw Ricky Starks pinned in the ring. But I don't, you know. But beyond that, I think it's going to be a good match, though. Keith Lee, I'm guessing, and Swerve Strickland, they're going to, you know, it looks like they're gelling as a tag team. You know, they played the back history stuff, you know, to when they matched them up. I have a feeling those guys might walk out with a title. Who knows? Maybe Christian will do something, and maybe we'll get a turn on him, and he'll come out. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too, because he's, like, saying how happy he was to be with them in an interview yesterday. And it's like, oh, that to me sounds like the perfect setup for him to, you know, switch sides a little bit. But what do you guys think?
I think you do get the turn from Christian. I will say that this is a match with a lot of people that I am looking forward to. I definitely think you're going to see a title change. I don't know which team's going to get them. I'll be honest, though, like, if after tomorrow night, either Team Taz or Swerve in His Glory are the tag champs, either way I'm happy. I really like both of those teams a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe I would prefer Starks and Hobbs a tad, but and let Keith and Swerve kind of build up more to get it soon. I mean, they're they're a less established tag team right now, but they are so fun to watch too. So, yeah, I mean, it's weird because you think about like AEW and how they've had so many long-term established tag teams, many of which have not had actual chances at the tag titles and stuff. And these teams are put together. They're in there. I mean, Starks and Hobbs aren't guys that have really gotten much of a chance on like pay-per-view like stages yet and stuff. But whoever takes the titles in that match tomorrow night, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
DC?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it's so much a question of there being a title change as it is, do we get Christian turning to cost the title change, or do we get Christian turning after the title change?
Good question on that, yeah.
I'd rather see after, yeah.
Yeah, I think
I'd rather see the integrity of a real pinfall.
And I'd rather see Christian by himself, you know, because we know he wants to work, and he's not really getting an opportunity to work when he's just like being the third guy, you know, and unless they really do want to do the trios, then maybe he could stay with them. But I think it's going to be an exciting match, and we really don't know what's going to happen, so we'll throw that up in the air. Two matches left now, I believe. Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb. Now, Thunder Rosa comes out without the makeup on this past week with a cowboy hat on. It's like, whoa, is she trying to warm up to JR or something? You know, that was a, you know, I was a real.
Did she not come out without the face paint before? I guess not.
I don't think so. Yeah.
She kept saying, I'm Mel. This is Mel. You know, like face paint or whatever. I was like, okay. Like, I mean, I don't know. It was kind of weird to me. It was a good cowboy hat.
But, yeah, nice pink one, I believe, or was it? I can't remember. Was it orange?
I don't pink know. Or red or
red,
something?
Red. Yeah. I think this match could be really, really, really good. They have built it up. I don't know if the build has been great, but it's been at least somewhat thorough and not like super rushed or whatever. But I think this is the match that finally shows everybody who doesn't already realize it, that Serena Deeb is one of the best wrestlers in the world. So I'm looking forward to that match getting some time, and I think it'll be good. I don't know if we see a title change or not, because Rose has only had that for what, like two and a half months, but.
And they have not done her any favors with that reign so far.
Yeah.
No. But Deep, I mean, I don't know. I could see Deep taking it, though, to be honest. So I think anything could happen there.
I'm looking forward to seeing Deep fight someone other than Sheeta. So,
yes.
Yeah. And Deep, you know, Deep's been like, being thrown in as a wild card kind of character. And, you know, who knows? I mean, we're going to get a great vicious women's tag, or vicious women's AEW championship match. And I think Thunder Rosa, you know, it deserves to retain it at least through this, because there's still a lot of contenders in the women's division that could move up. I mean, think about it, you know. I mean, Jade Cargill is holding a belt right now, but it's not the AEW Women's Championship belt, you know. And Britt Baker, you know, is like, you know, been, you know, in neutral kind of since losing the title as well. I mean, yes, working in the Owen Hart tournament final coming up, but beyond that, there's a next step after that too. So maybe we'll get Thunder Rosa rematch with Britt Baker after this, but I think Thunder Rosa is going to take it. I'm looking forward to seeing her work, both their works, you know, both her and Serena Deeb. So now we come to the main event that should happen after the basketball game.
Unless that's where they squeeze in another match.
Yeah, unless they squeeze another.
Where is FTR?
Yeah,
I'm just saying this right now. Like, they're like the hottest thing going right now.
And they are not on
the
card.
Why are they not on this card? But there's 400 other people on this show.
It's a good question, you know. And I think, you know, they are the Ring of Honor champs, right? Tag champs right now. So I think, I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but it's a bummer that they aren't there, you know. They aren't on this card at all.
I think as weird as it might be to just throw it together, I think if you do get an added match, it's going to involve them. So,
okay.
Maybe let them and Roppongi Vice go at it again without interference.
Yeah.
Or best friends.
Or yeah, maybe Orange is back and ready to wrestle again. You know, who knows? You know, I mean, but all we have on this piece of paper left is the main event, and that would be Hangman Adam Page and CM Punk. And both of them, I loved it because they were showing Punk to be the master manipulator in their little confrontation in the ring this past Wednesday night. Punk got him to the point where he punched him, you know, and so then that's what he was trying to do because he just sat there and laughed on the ground at the end there. I thought it was I loved it. I love those guys taking shots at each other and referring to the pipe bomb and other things, you know, in the promo. And Adam, I would love to see Adam Page. And I mean, we all hear that Tony Khan loves Adam Page and he thinks he's the greatest champion in the business right now. But man, I think CM Punk is walking away with that title and that sets up a lot of other matches. I don't know. I mean, Adam Page winning does as well, but I think that this is going to be the highest grossing pay-per-view AEW has done. I think because it's like every time they have one, it's higher grossing because of the lack of pay-per-views and it's a new company and people love CM Punk. And I think we're going to have a new champion at the end of this night. Thoughts?
This is one of those matches I'm looking forward to, despite the fact that I have absolutely hated almost every second of the buildup because there has not been a cohesive story behind this at all. And it's a detriment to what should be a fairly decent match. And they didn't help things at all this week with that final face-off. And, you know, Hangman's running his mouth about, oh, this perceived, you know, Punk behind the scenes with no reference or context at all. They're just throwing crap at the wall to see what sticks at this point to build this. So hated the buildup, but I'm looking forward to the match.
Yeah. I don't know. I agree with a lot of that. And I wish I was more interested in this match than I am. I think that this match is a huge test in terms of like Hangman. We've had in a lot of really good matches in AEW's few years so far. This is a big test for CM Punk in my mind. This is the actual test to see if he is close to best in the world status or not. I think this match could either be really good or it could be a flop. And I think that they have huge expectations that they're going to have to try to live up to. That I agree that the build, I didn't like the build for this. And I mean, Hangman missing a little time with COVID too didn't help. But I don't know how different the plans would have been in terms of building this up. This match, even if there's no delay because of basketball, this is already going to be at least the 13th match of the night. And I don't care if you put the best wrestling match of all time in that spot. That is a spot you don't want to be in a lot of ways. This match has to deliver like crazy because the crowd is going to be so burned out by that. I mean, I even said it like last week, we were talking about the ESW show, like that Lethal Miguel match was so, so good. But had that match gone on last, the crowd wouldn't have been they would have still loved it. And the match still would have been amazing, but you would not have had the same environment because the crowd by that time of the night is burned out. And that's not a 13, 14 match marathon like this. I'm not the biggest CM Punk fan. I never have been. This is intriguing to see where it goes from here. I don't want Punk to get the belt. I don't think he needs it. I understand it, like it's another thing that could help get more publicity for AEW and all that kind of stuff. Though there's a lot of that going on right now. I think this could be a huge win for Hangman if they let him. If I have to make a prediction, it's probably Punk taking it, but I have mixed feelings on it. I just don't, I don't know how, like what to expect from this match, but it's got to deliver. And when I look at like the title matches from all AEW pay-per-views to this point, honestly, this is for me personally, maybe the least intriguing matchup. I like Hangman and Cole was going to be good. Hangman and Omega, great. Moxley and Brody. You think like the list goes on and on. This one, I'm just kind of like, I hope it's good. And I think most people are more optimistic and looking forward to it more than I am, which is great. Hopefully next week I'm like, wow, I love that match. That was great.
Well, yeah,
I really hope that's the case.
Yeah, me too. And it's, I mean, and this is, listen, Punk is a major player. And I mean, he was a major player. I mean, listen, he worked his way in every company to the top spot. You know, I mean, might as well try him. That's what I'm saying. You know, it's like, you know, and I don't have a problem with Cole. I love Cole. I love how hard Cole has been in the last month building this up, how they've come, he's come out and he's not like, he didn't care what people think, what he was saying. He was just saying, you know, just even if they were booing him, he was saying stuff that, you know, because Punk, you know, but I wouldn't have a problem if, say, Punk won this and then, you know, we moved on to something else, or maybe Adam Cole would get revenge. You know, I don't know. But I think Page, I'm sorry, Adam Page, not Adam Cole. Yeah, I would love to see Punk and Adam Cole. I mean, there's a lot, so many great matchups, and it's like, you know, we'll see. I think if we leave status quo after this, if this is like the biggest selling pay-per-view ever for them and it's a status quo when we end, you know, at least with the heavyweight title, I think people might be disappointed. So I think we're going to get a Punk win at the end of the night. And I, you know, and who knows, I've been rooting for a Punk heel turn. We're not going to get it on this. I know it's not going to happen.
See, but I think that was the big misstep with that face-off promo from Wednesday, because, you know, Hangman leaves you with the impression of, you know, he's not fighting to defend the title against Punk. He's fighting to defend AEW against Punk.
Yeah.
If he would have called out, hey Punk, in ROH, you won the title, turned heel, you know, went against the company. WWE, you win the title, you go heel, you go against the company. What's to expect anything different here in AEW? Right there. Boom. You set the plate for what it is you're trying to say, Hangman. And then we kind of have some semblance of, you know, a story for this match other than what we've gotten.
True.
Okay, one thing I don't want to see is, I do not want to see both CM Punk and Ruby Soho win tomorrow night. And that's part of me, like, not trying to gatekeep AEW or anything, but like, there's a, as the weeks go on, there's more and more of a like, oh, that person was in WWE, that person was in WWE, which that's not that big of a deal. Like, when you look closer into it, like, I saw the amount of CM Punk and Heidi Lovelace matches I saw before either one of them ever went to WWE is a lot. Like, I don't necessarily consider all these people WWE people. Same thing with Adam Cole, the same thing with Samoa Joe, but I just don't, this company has stood out because they've been different, and I don't want to see them fall too much in this category of like, oh, here's the Hardy Boys and here's Jericho and here's CM Punk and here's Adam Cole and Ruby Soho. And it's like, what happened to all the people that got you to this point?
True.
So to make, like, in that sense, like, you look at the AEW world title, Jericho had it, Moxley had it, and then we kind of moved into like some more homegrown ish stars, with Omega and with Hangman. And I don't think, like, if Punk wins it, I hope it's a very short reign. But this whole talk, like, Punk is teasing this heel side and stuff, but are we at a point maybe where there just aren't really heels and faces? Or because when you think about it too, like, you've got Forbidden Door coming up in Chicago. It's all but confirmed that All Out is also going to be in Chicago again, the next pay-per-view. Is CM Punk really going to be a heel on those shows? No.
Nope.
I just don't, yeah, it could help your company out a little bit, but are you hurting your company at the same time? And I think CM Punk is an established enough star that he does not need that belt. If I had to pick between them, I'd rather see Danielson get it at some point, but he doesn't need it either. Yeah. Like, to me, this is more about building new stars. And this could be, if Hangman wins, that could be huge for him. And maybe we can get the ball rolling more on this title reign and kind of salvage it before it ends at All Out or something like that. But I don't know. I'm rooting for Hangman, but I think Punk's going to win.
That's what I feel too, is I think, you know, what if we're going to give it back, Hangman, I don't think Hangman's done with the title. I just think maybe he's done for now with it. And then maybe if he gets an opportunity to get it again, then maybe they can book him a little bit better through his title, you know, through a title win instead of like, you know, having the, you know, like what he did the first 3 months of this title run. You know, so I don't know. DC, what do you think?
It's a tough spot, honestly.
What I like is that we all don't aren't sure what's going to happen. So that makes it even better to watch, you know?
Right. Like RT said, we've gotten some great matches from Hangman in AEW. I've kind of been lukewarm on the title reign. I don't know if it's because it took too long for him to get the title. I don't know if it's just because of the way he's like, been presented.
The part of the problem here is just the nature of life, in that I'm not blaming this. I'm not like he's got his priorities in order and stuff. But when Hangman took time off a year ago, honestly, that killed a lot of the buildup. Had that timing been different in a different world, I think the title win would have been a lot better. And then the reign would have been a lot better. And it would have started earlier. And maybe it would be more okay for him to lose it now or whatever. But it's been not as much as we all expected with the amount of momentum he had a year ago at this point. Sorry.
Yeah, but no, it's fine. No, and you're right. So maybe Punk winning lets us hit the reset button.
And that's exactly what I was
trying to try again.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. It's because it's like there's, you know, time is a continuous stream, so it's not like Paige is gonna disappear, you know, and then go some other company or something. He's under contract, so he'll be back. You know, maybe they can just, you know, reboot his run. Maybe like have Punk drop it to, you know, MJF or something, and then who knows? We'll see. But it's like
it's interesting to think about in those sense, because like who will be the first person to win that belt a second time. I don't love where they've gone with the TNT belt with repeat champions and stuff. I like the idea of AEW still being a young company and somebody gets built up, they win it, they have their turn, move on. I don't really want to see repeat world champions yet, but if I have to make a prediction right now, Punk wins tomorrow and goes on to have the so far shortest world title reign that ends no later than All Out.
Okay. You know, and it allows them to build up, use him a little bit to build up the pay-per-view in Chicago, the Forbidden Door, you know? I mean, you think about it, you know?
I mean, maybe you rush MJF into that spot for All Out and MJF takes it from Punk, but the problem is that, like, the crowd loves to boo MJF, and he is a great heel. The crowd also appreciates him, like, but if MJF took the belt from Punk in Chicago, would people be throwing beer cans at the ring? Or would there be a good amount of cheers? I don't know. I mean, Punk is Punk in Chicago, but is that enough time to build up MJF to take it if he would be the guy? But I think that's what you're looking at, is Punk taking it for a short reign.
All right. There's our predictions, folks. This is, you know what, and we went long, and this has been like, but this is important. This is very important to the growth of this company. And I don't think CM Punk winning it will hurt. I obviously don't think it'll hurt. It'll allow him, you know, I mean, he's been there before. He's been on the pinnacle of major companies. So, I mean, he has that experience and, you know,
maybe we get another Summer of Punk.
Maybe they'll bring John Cena. No. Yeah.
Like, we didn't even go that in depth with all those matches. There's just so many matches that, like,
yeah,
us previewing the card for tomorrow was like as much time as an In Your House pay per view.
You serious?
Think about how long the show is going to be tomorrow. When we talked about each match for a couple minutes or whatever. But
yeah.
This match will get 20 minutes. This match will get 30 minutes. Like, oh my, like, Do we need to build an intermission into the show? Honestly,
make it a weekend, you know, do 2 days.
Everybody take a nap before the show tomorrow.
Definitely.
That's like a rule.
I would agree. Yeah. I'm going to make
my wife drive the last leg home so I can squeeze that nap in.
I'm going to go through some real quick news before we get out of here. And just a couple pieces real quick. It looks like Impact Talent and AEW Talent are going to be appearing in the second season of Stars Series Heels, you know, the Stephen Amell show. You know, it looks like Serena Deeb and Thunder Rosa might be having something to do with it, as well as, you know, we've had CM Punk in there before, as well as Mick Foley. So we'll have some more announcements as we get closer, who's going to be doing it. But some other news, Kurt Angle underwent double knee replacement surgery last Tuesday. He posted a video from the hospital bed, and double knee is pretty serious, you know. It takes a while to come back from that. Well, we'll keep our thoughts and prayers towards Kurt Angle, you know, send him to him and make him feel, you know, send our vibes to him, and hopefully he heals quickly. WWE NXT announced they're going to be doing touring this summer. And this fall, October 2nd, they're going to be in Syracuse at the Lost Horizon. I'm not even sure what that is. I don't even know what
a concert venue.
Yeah, well, that's where they're going to be. So October 2nd.
That's the same. Sometime around then, I know one of the shows that just got announced for that venue is Fosse. I don't think it's like that same week necessarily, but it's fun to see wrestling in those different venues. So
maybe they'll do Riverworks again. I love when NXT was there. That was a fun show, man. That was, you know, it was like there was not a bad seat in the place, and JB was winning.
Real quick, not like this isn't a sponsorship, but we had lunch before the ESW show at Riverworks.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't enough time to make a stop as planned. There are Loganberry barbecue wings at Riverworks that were among the best wings I've ever had in my life. Unbelievable. Just had to throw that out there.
Make me hungry now. It's almost lunchtime, so we're working towards it. So if you go into Riverworks and catch a wrestling show there, or roller derby or anything else, you can get they have some great food, as well as they have probably the largest bar I've ever seen in my life, in the spanning of the entire building. But so next piece of news looks like, hey, get this, more blood money. WWE Crown Jewel is going to be held Saturday, November 5th in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. You remember the last time they were there, it was the Elimination Chamber.
Yes, that mecca of progress.
Yeah,
Saudi Arabia.
This is the first time they'll be in, this is the first time, this is the eighth premium live event in Saudi Arabia since 2018. As part of their 10-year agreement between WWE and the Saudi General Sports Authority. So, yes, they're going back. It'll be in the middle. It'll be like right before Thanksgiving. Maybe they'll set up Survivor Series. Who knows? Sasha Banks and Naomi, you might remember they were a big topic on last week's show. They have been stripped of their WWE Women's title and suspended indefinitely. Michael Cole announced the news during WWE Friday Night SmackDown a week ago and said that a future tournament will be held to crown the new champions. To me, that means they're not going to replace the belts. They've already got too many belts, you know, but we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Not a lot of women tag teams.
Suspended without pay, too.
Oh, really?
So,
well, I know both of them, their contracts are running out, so we'll see what happens. I just feel bad if Naomi, you know, Sasha doesn't care, and Naomi's like, unfortunately, has to go along with it. So, I don't know. Veteran wrestler and broadcast team member of Veda Scott and Impact Wrestling's Mike Bailey announced that they were married recently. It appears the ceremony was held in Las Vegas. Congratulations. WWE is doing one week from today. They're doing a In Your House NXT event on the WWE Network, on Peacock Network. Saturday, June 4th, they're going to be having a NXT In Your House at the Performance Center. We're going to get Bron Breakker versus Joe Gacy, which they've been setting up for a while. I like how Joe Gacy loses his big guy, and now he's got two hooded guys with him. Mandy Rose versus Wendy Cho, which maybe she'll, you know, jump on her, sleep on her or something and get the pin that way. Cameron Grimes and Carmelo Anthony for the NXT North American Championship. JC Jane and Gigi Dolan versus Caden Carter and Katana Chance for the NXT tag titles. And Pretty Deadly, Elton Prince and Kit Wilson versus Julius Creed and Brutus Creed, a rematch for the NXT tag titles. That'll be pretty good. And that's going to be a week from Saturday on the Peacock. I believe it's on Peacock. I mean, they wouldn't do it if it wasn't. So it's like, it is a quote unquote in your house. So we'll get the little setup, the little house. Maybe someone will jump off the roof again or something, you know, like they did last time. Legendary wrestler William Regal is scheduled to premiere his Gentleman's Villain podcast next month. Regal took to Twitter to announce that Gentleman's Villain will premiere on Thursday, June 2nd under Conrad Thompson's adfreeshows.com banner and on the podcast Heat Network. Regal's co-host will be Matt Kuhn. The show will then air each Thursday. I'm kind of interested. You know, I mean, we don't really get a lot of shoot comments from William Regal, you know, except for on Twitter, but it's just, you know, one statement every once in a while. So it'd be nice to see what he has to say. He's come out this past week and said that there was guys that are in AEW right now that he really wanted to sign for NXT and they wouldn't do it. So he gets to work with them now over in AEW.
While also always referring to Excalibur as Man in the Mask.
The Man in the Mask.
Which I pop for every time I hear it. Yeah, man, there's so many podcasts now, but Regal's got one. Foley's is going to debut soon. Road Dogg just got one. There's too many to keep track of at this point, but he's definitely Regal, somebody I'd be interested in hearing some more stories from. So
go ahead, Ortiz. I was just going to say something stupid.
Well, no, I think that like Regal was one of the people, like when he showed up in AEW, I was just like, oh, this is a cool surprise, but like, what are they going to do with him? And he's somebody like, I really like the role they've got him in. And we get to actually hear from him every week one way or another and stuff. Like, I think that turned out to be a really good signing, where initially it was just like, what are they going to do? Please don't do another general manager thing, whatever. But
he's very Sir Alfred Hayes to me. Also, Alfred Hayes, you know, being in English descent, you know, he would come out and commentate on all the old WWF programs and WWF programs. You know, he was Tuesday Night Titans co-host with Vince McMahon as well. And I think of when I hear Regal, you know, that kind of sparks that memory for me, you know. And William Regal also, very shoot comments. So it's like, you know, he's seen a lot. So, he's a guy who started in the carnivals, you know, in England. So he's like, he started when they used to like challenge people in the crowd and he would make people tap out in like a minute and stuff. So he's definitely, you know, either that or it's a story they told us when he was in WCW, but I really believe it. I think I've seen some when he, like, there was a WWE TV show where they went back with him to his hometown and he walked around and showed people things about where, you know, when he was growing up and how, you know, but definitely an interesting guy and I'd love to hear it. I already mentioned this. If you're in Rochester or the Rochester area, Eastview Mall, July 23rd, 1 to 4 p.m., Sting is doing a meet and greet. The injured Sting, who we should not see this weekend because he, like the RT said, he canceled his autograph sessions and they refunded everybody. But he will be in Rochester July 23rd. I hear Lex Luger's going to be with him. And so I'm not absolutely 100% sure of that, but I think that's what I saw someplace. But it's $60 for interview or $60 for an autograph, $60 for a picture. They have VIP ones where you can hang out with Sting. VIP, it's like $200. I mean, but if you're a Sting fan, you know what? I know people is like, take my money. They start to, you know, because we don't get Sting around here that often, you know, rarely, if anything.
Like, what do you do if you're just hanging out with Sting, like an average Joe? Like, I'm just imagining people in a back room with like a sub tray sitting around a table. Like, so what's up? Like,
I remember his son played football. You can make small talk with him or something, you know, or I don't know.
But just the thought of it is just like boggles my mind, like making small talk with Sting.
Oh, I do.
Me just like picturing like that with that Chris Farley interviews from.
That was so like, cool.
Remember when you were in that match? You jumped off that thing.
Yeah.
You went through the table.
Awesome. Remember when you were in the Terminator? That was so cool. So, and I want to run you remind me 39 days till AEW's in Rochester. I hope you got your tickets. 39 days. They're going to be here. Let's see, little piece of news. Nikita Lyons is from NXT Superstar is currently hurt. Nikita suffered a partial tear and sprain of her MCL. She was in that new tournament, the women's breakout tournament. It was immediately replaced after, I believe, the inaugural first match. got hurt, suffered a freak injury. Oh, while training, I'm sorry, in the WWE Performance Center. So was pulled from her semifinal match against Fallon Henley. Suffered a partial tear and sprain of her MCL. I think you don't need surgery for that, but that does take a lot of time to, you know, definitely sprains take a while. And the last piece of news, you might have been, there's a couple pieces actually. Roppongi Vice, we got to see them versus FTR, and out and comes out at the end of the match, and New Japan Pro Wrestling's Jeff Cobb and the great Okan. And it's like Jeff Kahn.
Jim Ross.
Let's just go to Artiste.
I'm just Jim Ross. That's all I need to say.
Jeff Cobb, who goes by a different name now. What is that name now? I can't remember.
No, he's Jeff Cobb.
Oh, is he Jeff Cobb?
And then his tag partner, that other guy, Great O'Shea. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. So they come out and it's like Jeff Cobb. So we haven't seen Jeff Cobb in anything to do with AEW in what, like a year and a half from that one time he showed up. And,
it was longer because that was the Dynamite in Austin that I was at in middle of February of 2020, that he made the surprise debut there. And then he had like a match like a week later or something and he was gone.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's been over 2 years. Yeah.
And he was doing stuff with the Ring of Honor then too as well. He now is New Japan, but we got to see him briefly. I didn't like how they kind of ruined that match because that was a fun match up until that point. Maybe that's why we'll get a rematch because of that. You know, maybe we'll do a three-way with those guys. I don't think they would just come out and show up for no reason and not, you know, have anything more to do. You know, I don't know.
Well, it's probably just to plant seeds for Forbidden Door.
Yeah, setting up Forbidden Door. Yeah.
If you add a match with either them and FTR, the Ass Boys, whoever, I mean, there's possibilities.
Don't call them that. the Gun Club.
you call them what you want.
Okay.
We'll call them by their real name.
Yes. The Acclaim. No, that was real name. That was a great introduction, by the way, on Rampage yesterday. So
did you hear what Anthony Bowens referred to Billy Gunn as Billy Gunn was pushing Bowen's wheelchair?
What did he say? What do you call him?
He called him Daddy Ass. Cracking up.
Oh my.
It's quite a random pairing of the Acclaimed and the Gun Club, but I'm all for it.
Yeah, I love it.
If this whole thing ends with the Acclaimed stealing the Gun Club's father from them.
when Billy Gunn and who's the hurt one from the Acclaim? What's his name?
Anthony Bowens.
When Bowens and Billy Gunn did the scissors handshake before he pushed him to the... I'm sorry.
I'm still waiting for giant foam scissors to go on sale so I can buy some.
Certainly. So yep. One last piece before we get out of here. AEW and Champs Sports are teaming up to celebrate Pride Month with the first iteration of the limited edition Diadora X AEW footwear collection. Pretty cool looking sneakers. I mean they're probably super expensive, but they're featuring the Young Bucks in the ads as well. The first pair of new sneakers will be available on Thursday. That would be last Thursday apparently. Champs, so definitely check them out. The sneakers will go for $100-$120 each on the champsports.com website, so check it out. Love them, man. The rainbow colors.
I wonder if they already sold out, to be honest. There's a lot of hype on those, but
they were cool. I definitely liked them a lot. So they were, yeah. Beyond that, it looks like one last piece of news, I guess, is kind of rumors, I guess. But AEW was talking with Killer Cross to bring him in to the position, which W. Morrissey did a couple weeks ago. When Morrissey came in for MJF to take, you know, to go after Wardlow, and Killer Cross almost, they fell apart in negotiations because he wanted his wife to be with him, and they didn't want to go that far, so they went with W. Morrissey, but apparently they still have good they still are in good. What did they say again? Hold on. They work together down the road eventually. There's, you know, good terms after this, but I thought it'd be interesting if Killer Cross had come out instead of W. Morrissey, because
if I was him, I wouldn't do it, to be honest, like, just because, like, you've got the way he was just established as like an NXT champion and stuff like that. I think it was fine for Morrissey to come in and lose that match. I don't think, like, Cross's first TV appearance since leaving WWE shouldn't be a loss. especially after what happened when he went to the main roster in that company. So
true.
Yeah, if I was him, I wouldn't take that spot.
But if he did, at least come out in the gladiator suit, then that would be okay, because people didn't like that. But he did lose to Jeff Hardy his very first match in WWE, so it's like which dumbfounded pretty much everybody watching. So that's about it for today. So I want you guys, tomorrow night, don't forget AEW pay-per-view. That's right. You want to be there to watch Sting win it, Double or Nothing. I know I'm saying Sting win it, but it may not be that way. But there's a lot of things that are going to fall out from this pay-per-view. Sting? Who? No. AEW Double or Nothing?
Punk?
Who? Possibly. I'm not saying it already happened. It hasn't. I know. We all have different opinions on it. I think, you know, but.
I think we're confused as to why you're bringing up Sting.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean Sting. I meant Punk. That's what I meant. I apologize. I'm flipping through my pages.
Why you're getting raised eyebrows from me and our teams.
I'm sorry.
Spoiler alert.
I was just trying to close out this.
Sting wins the title tomorrow.
Oh, well, who knows? You know, he has disappeared. You heard it here first. No. Boy, wouldn't that be dumb if that happened? No. Nevertheless.
Yes, it would.
Punk.
Yes, it would.
Punk and Paige tomorrow.
So that can never happen.
No, but not a doubt. But Punk and Paige tomorrow, super excited. And Punk will walk off, maybe possibly with a title. But we got that going on. Anything else going on this week that I'm missing out on that we should talk about?
No. If you're looking for wrestling today, there's some good streams on Fight. I'm looking forward to the Wrestling Revolver show. That's got a good mix of people with Trey Miguel, Matt Cardona, a lot of people are on that show. That's at 7:00 Eastern. We catch that later while also watching hockey during part of that. And we don't have a Amherst conflict tomorrow with Double or Nothing, so I guess that's okay.
Unfortunately. But you're not into basketball, so you could care less about that.
Oh, yeah. I know the Celtics are in that game, and it's a game 7, but I don't even know who they're playing or
Miami.
Round it is.
And the winner of that gets to go to the championship against the Western Conference Division, which is the what do they call it?
The Warriors.
Yeah, the Warriors, yeah. Which is really a surprise to everybody.
So this is like the same thing every year in that league.
Different players, same teams. Yeah. Golden State Warriors, who knows? Maybe we'll get it's Boston or Miami. So neither of those teams have been in the finals in a few years. So, but on that note, we got to get out of here. I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you. We went super long, but we're going to have a lot to talk about next week with, I don't know. So, you know, maybe we'll have a new champ. Maybe we won't. We'll see what happens. See how everything comes out in booking. And, you know, if you can survive through the 13 matches, like we said, take a nap. Take a nap Sunday, you know, afternoon, you know, put on a baseball game. Those are usually good enough to put you to sleep for a while, you know. And then
the Savannah Bananas.
Yeah. The Savannah Bananas. Yeah. It's funny. There's a girl roller derby named Savannah Banana. I thought that was very interesting. But, well, we'll see you all next week. Same bat time. Same bat time.